The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Been pretty damn good for a while. You have a game like that, you usually bounce back.
That's responding to last week, all the crap they took.
Rodgers wants to throw through it again, and he's got it. Touchdown, Packers. Rodgers fires.
He's feeling it right now.
He threw it right by that linebacker's ear.
A 4-touchdown game for Aaron Jones.
People like to say a lot of bull, and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that.
Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do? We get a people! What they want. Huge win for the Lions last night. Huge win for the Lions. They were up by 3 points at halftime against the Green Bay Packers, Jalen. Huge win for the Lions. I mean, to have a halftime lead on a Monday night game.
Come on.
What a win for the Lions.
You saw future MVP Jared Goff throwing dimes to the best tight end in the league,
Hockenson,
at the back of the end zone. You saw us winning at the half. 17-14. We had Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones on the ropes at the half.
And then there was the second half. Second half during which Aaron Jones and Aaron Rodgers made the Lions look absolutely foolish. Absolutely foolish. Jalen, what happened in the second half?
Well, in the first half, it was more like, "Rawr!" That was the first half celebration that we had, right? And then in the second half, it was more like, meow, meow. So Aaron Jones had 1, 2, 3, 4 touchdowns. And I was actually rooting for him because he was paying homage to his late father. And I was rooting for him. I'm glad he did really well. Aaron Rodgers got going in the second half. He found Davante Adams in particular on a beautiful bomb in the third quarter. And then before you know it, the route was on. The route was on. And then the only thing was left to pay attention to was a couple of things that are really important. Was Jamal Williams going to get me a touchdown? Because I bet that he would.
Nope.
Would the Lions cover? You bet that they would.
12 and a half points, Jalen. They have 12 and a half points. That's almost 2 touchdowns. And in this play, at the very end, I watched it. I was like, wait, did he catch him? Oh, no. 12 and a half points, and your Lions couldn't even cover. Jalen, this was a disgrace.
That was pass interference. That was pass interference.
Last night.
I know you said it when you was watching it.
Like, honestly, I don't think the Lions are going to win a game. I don't think they're going to win a game. I don't even think they'll cover. I don't think they'll cover the entire season. There is a serious concern about this football team. When you look at the NFC North, which one of these teams is good? Can you explain that to me? Which one of these teams is good?
Well, for those that want to cherry pick J&J material, we let you know. Justin Fields is going to be starting against the Lions when they play. That's going to be his first start. When you look at that division, there isn't a team, as you just shown, that's undefeated, which means we're still in striking distance. That's all that means. We're still in striking distance. You saw the Bears. You saw the Vikings. We're still in striking distance.
Jalen, the Lions are closer to going on strike. The Lions are closer to going on strike than to be within striking distance to win the division. I would be less surprised if they literally went on strike and stop playing for Dan Campbell then if they actually threatened to win the division. Packers are going to have that division easily. That game last night was interesting, but it was Aaron Rodgers after the game who had this to say, which was interesting.
I just think people like to say a lot of bullshit, and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that.
Little wink here at the end. What do you think? What do you think of the wink?
I'm just disappointed he didn't make a reference to scotch. You know what I mean? After a game like that, that has to be the focus. But I seen him getting hydrated. Anytime somebody know they about to turn up, they got a bottle of water first. He knew that they needed that victory. And you know what I like? I like that he approached playing against the Lions, he and Matt LaFleur, who's also a Michigan native, they approached it like they were playing the defending Super Bowl champions. That's what I appreciate. That's what I appreciated. Going into the game, they knew that we was hungry. They knew that we was going to bite knees off if we had to. Ain't that right, Dan Campbell? If we get down, we just bite a knee. And after the game, you saw Aaron Rodgers. He was acting like he just went against the 85 Bears. Like he just went against the steel curtain. He was enthusiastic to have his all-time great game against my Lions. You saw that.
I feel like Aaron Rodgers spends 2 days out of the week preparing for his next opponent and the other 5 days out of the week just looking around the league for his next team. That's what I feel like. I feel like he's just looking around the league for his next team because we all know that he will not be on the Packers next year. What team will he join? We will see. Stay tuned for that. We have much more. But first, we move on to the NBA, which starts just a couple weeks. Training camp is going to happen, and Mr. Ben Simmons is still a Philadelphia 76er. Do you expect him to hold out or show up to camp?
If I'm Ben Simmons, I show up at camp. You don't help your value or your reputation by not showing up. Now, if you're an NBA insider, which the Sixers are going to be on the phone with frequently over the next few days, weeks, and months until a deal is done, you know the dynamic player that Ben Simmons can be. Just like you know his challenges, in particular, not attempting shots outside of the paint. But at his next destination, I'm going to tell you the chess move, Jacoby. You cannot make him the point guard. That's the disconnect. He'll be a terrific ball handler if you played him on the wing or played him on the baseline and use him as a secondary ball handler, in particular, in half-court offense. Now, in transition or steals, or open floor situations, you get it and go. Because he's as dynamic with the ball in the open floor with his size in particular as any player in the league. But you don't help your value by not coming to camp. I believe he should show up at camp in shape, unlike James Harden, play really hard in the preseason like he's done his entire career, get his confidence back up. Because when you're underneath the hoop and you got the kind of size and power that Ben Simmons has in athleticism, and it's the playoffs and you don't dunk on Trae Young, your confidence is also down. So I think he should come to camp, build his confidence back up, possibly start the season with the Sixers. That gives everyone the leverage to get a quality deal done early in the season.
So we've been talking about Ben Simmons all offseason. And when I look around the league, I just don't see a dance partner. There's no obvious trade out there for him. There is no perfect franchise for him to join that would be mutually beneficial. The only thing that I could potentially see would be friend of the show, CJ McCollum, and maybe Covington and a couple of picks and him going to the Blazers. That's the only sort of move that I see that could potentially be made. Is there any dance partner that you see for the Sixers? Where do you expect Ben Simmons to end up?
But see, that's because you and I know how good CJ is, right? Mm-hmm. We know that he's going to be a 25-point scorer wherever he is. But as a defender, Ben Simmons is all NBA, okay? That's something that can't be dismissed. You can have that guy on Trae Young, or you can put him on LeBron James. And so he becomes a unique weapon, a Swiss Army knife defensively. So based on that and his age, he's still a young player. He's still a really accomplished player. He's been an all-NBA performer. He's played in the playoffs a few times. So you're not going to just move him unless you think you're going to get a face of the franchise type of player or just a boatload of picks that you can't turn down. I agree with you. I don't see a dance partner. I'm hearing CJ McCollum. There's wins about what's going to happen with Houston and John Wall. I just don't see those deals getting done. So therefore, that's why it's important for me that he shows up in shape, in camp, and starts the season with the Sixers to build back up not only his confidence, but his trade value.
I think you make a really good point. People always focus on what Ben Simmons doesn't do offensively, but what he does do defensively, he was second in voting for Defensive Player of the Year. He is the second best defender in the entire league. He's extremely valuable, which is why I believe that he will start the season with the Sixers, because his value is so high that they do not want to trade him for 50 cents on the dollar. Interesting to see what happens there. But Jalen, I don't know if you saw what happened on the internet, but my guy, Facundo Campazzo, look at this post from the official account of the Denver Nuggets. It was two goats, the magician versus MJ. Who you got? Who is the greatest player of all time? Is it Michael Jeffrey Jordan or Facundo Campazzo?
Shout to the Nuggets who took me 13th overall in the draft, and my guy Bernie Bickerstaff, forever grateful. Michael Jordan got more work to do for this comparison. I mean,
yeah,
Campazzo's the
he
answer.
Does.
You know,
I mean,
you know, Jordan got to step up his international experience. You know,
that's
what it is.
He does. I mean, the thing is I think I'm no disrespect to Michael Jordan. No disrespect to Michael Jordan, but he just needs to have more accomplishments in his career in order to be compared to the GOAT, Facundo Campazzo. I'm back on Campazzo.
You know,
I was on Campazzo,
back in,
and then I was out on Campazzo. I'm back on Campazzo. Love me some Campazzo. Michael Jordan, never heard of him.
Michael,
I gotta see more.
Michael,
I gotta see more.
How about
I gotta see more from Michael Jordan?
When people talk about beauty, elegance, and grace, that's what this is. From the cradle to the grave, a human being. Look at the twinkle toes on the baseline. There's a human being that played basketball with his tongue out. If you just think about that, when you get a chance, anytime you run it on a treadmill, try to stick out your tongue when you run. Okay?
No.
That's how great Michael
First
Jordan
of all,
is.
If you've ever seen Jalen Rose on a treadmill, it's like 3 miles an hour maximum. Jalen doesn't jog on treadmills. He walks on treadmills. I was surprised. I was looking over him. I was like, yeah, that's how fast we're going on the treadmill. When we come back.
Warm up the knees, dog.
We are through 2 weeks of the NFL season, and there are some 2-0 teams that might not be legitimate. We'll talk about that right after this.
Oh, we got some negative Jacoby.
Coming to you live from the Seaport and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, through 2 weeks of the NFL season, there's a lot of teams that have a lot to be positive about. However, I'm about to burst that bubble. It is time for negative Jacoby. Jalen, take a look at this list of undefeated NFL football teams, and I'm going to tell you who the frauds are. They're right there at the top. The Raiders are frauds, the Broncos are frauds, and the Panthers are frauds. Those three teams
wow.
that are 2-0 will not make
wow.
the playoffs. I guarantee it. So
wow.
if you are in Las Vegas, Colorado, or Carolina, congratulations. Celebrate your 2-0 start, but you are fraudulent. Your thoughts, Mr. Rose.
2-0 always means something. It doesn't mean as much, however, that the NFL has moved to a 17-game series, 17-game season. So mm-hmm. now you have more opportunity to recover from a turbulent start and or have a good start and see it go the other way. But you see Sam Darnold out there escaping
Sam Darnold.
From the Jets. You saw Zach throw 4 interceptions last week. And Christian McCaffrey, we just take him for granted. He like the ultimate dual threat, catching it out the backfield, running out of the backfield. You got to put some respect on that name. And how about the Denver Broncos? You see Fant and Teddy Bridgewater hooking up. You see him spreading the football, right? You see that defense out there making plays.
Are you going to see him in the playoffs? Are you going to see him in the playoffs? Are you going to see the Broncos in the playoffs, Mr. Rose? Are you going to see the Broncos in the playoffs? Are you going to see the Panthers in the playoffs?
what happened was. Probably okay, not. But what about figured. The Raiders? What about Henry like Ruggs?
The Raiders got a couple good wins.
Deep last week?
The Raiders got a couple good wins. They did get a couple good wins. That's nope. I say the Broncos exactly. and the Panthers are truly fraudulent. The Raiders, however, jury is still out. But I am negative Jacoby, so I'm going negative. Couple good wins for the Raiders. Celebrate
Shout
now.
Shout to Kyler Murray and Hopkins and Kirk Those. Who goes deep and the Buccaneers who return all 22.
Well, there's the other side of this coin as well. Those are the 2-0 teams. There are also a bunch of 0-2 teams, which I know you're familiar with because your Lions are headlining this group of 0-2 teams. Can any of these teams turn it around? Because I don't see any of these teams turning it around this season.
If there is a team amongst that group that could turn it around, I'll say it's the Vikings because of the division that they play in. And it seems like Kirk Cousins, you can say whatever you want to say about him, but he seems to still be productive. And I love Dalvin Cook, so I'll say them. If you're the Colts, you already know that you can't rely on Carson Wentz. Now, I've been rooting for him, and I wanted to see him get a fresh start. But it seems like already he's going to be injury prone this year, in and out of the lineup this year. So that would be the only team I'll say amongst that group that shows potential promise to turn it around.
Your Lions had 12 and a half points and couldn't cover the spread. Not only are they putting it on the field, but they're also putting it on social media. Look at some of these tweets that these franchises have put out. They're basically apologizing to their fan bases for their own. Look, it says, hang in there with us. Hang in there with us.
Please.
We're going to get better.
Please.
I mean, come
baby, please.
Urban Meyer, what are you doing? And then we have the Falcons. We have 15 more to go. 15 more what, losses?
I have news for the Falcons. You should have taken a quarterback. If you're going to let Julio go, and I love Ridley, by the way, he a beast. It has to be a package deal with Matt Ryan. That means you're moving on from that era. You can't let Julio go and Freeman go and all these people go and then keep Matt Ryan. I just don't understand that thinking. Wasn't it like 5 quarterbacks to get taken in the first round or something? Y'all didn't consider investing in one? Am I the only one to see that Matt Ryan has gotten older? Am I the only one seeing this?
Well, you know who did get the quarterback that the Falcons should have drafted? That is the Chicago Bears and Andy Dalton. Unclear whether or not he will be available to play quarterback. However, if he is available, who should be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears?
Justin Fields should be the quarterback. If Andy Dalton is healthy, however, he will be the answer to your question. Because I'm not deviating from what we said when the schedule first came out. Even if Justin Fields was ready game one, you didn't want to put him out there against Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. You just didn't want to do that. Give him these couple of games to learn and just survey all of he's going to be getting ready to encounter once he gets into the lineup. Now, however, it's one thing for Dalton to get injured. It's another thing that how he got hurt. A non-contact, trying to hit the brakes, old man type of, oh no, can't stop, and you hurt your knee. So Fields, obviously, if Dalton can't go, is going to be ready to get out there and perform. But I still stand by Fields' first game starting, with all things equal, will be week 4 against the Detroit Lions.
You always want to put your backup quarterback in a position to succeed, and it's so easy to succeed against the Lions. It is so easy to succeed against the Lions. The Lions were up. Lions were up by 3 at halftime. They should have shut down the game. They should have shut down the game last night. And you look at their chance to win. Lions 63% chance to win. The only game that they are favored to win in the next month is against your Lions, and it is also in Chicago. I expect Justin Fields to be the starting quarterback if Andy Dalton is available in week 4. Jalen. Kyler Murray, our guy, Kyler Murray, had a celebration on Sunday that you don't even understand. We'll explain that right after this. You are watching Jalen.
Give the people what they want.
Thursday, the WNBA playoffs start at 8 p.m. on ESPN2. It is Dallas against Chicago, and then at 10 p.m., it is New York against Phoenix. Playoff action, ESPN2, Thursday night, WNBA. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, that man, J.J. Redick, is officially done with his professional career. What do you think about his impact in the game?
Seasoned vet, very good career. Knockdown, dead-eye shooter. Not only off the catch, but off movement, in particular off screens. Congratulations, J.J. Enjoy your retirement.
Jalen, our guy, Kyler Murray. Not only did he score this touchdown, but when he scored this touchdown, he broke out a Yoda kind of pose here. But he says that it was not Star Wars influence because he's never seen Star Wars. Jalen, do you know who Baby Yoda is?
I don't, but I know who Kyler Murray is, and we have that in common. I give you the Buddha every day on the show. Protection, enlightenment, knowledge, wisdom, and we do it every day on ESPN2 at 4 p.m. One of us has seen every Star Wars and reads books all of the time. The other one of us goes to the barber all of the time.
We'll let you figure out which one is which, and we will be back every single day, 4 p.m. on ESPN2. We always say we get the people they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners, Mr. Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, though?
We are officially going to be gambling this season, okay? And I really felt like
Scrambling, gambling at restaurants with mandolins and violins.
I really felt like they were going to cover. 12 and a half points just seemed like a lot of points. Didn't come through for me, dog. Very upset.
Jacoby. The best thing about your Die Easy fandom is I could be that exact same way when I'm betting my money. So, like, I tried to tell you, I love the Lions. We've won one playoff game in 60 years. You was
so
like,
wild.
They gonna cover this. I'm like, they ain't covering that, dog. I don't want no parts of that. I'm good. I hope we get two touchdowns and Williams get one. That's what I was thinking.
So
that's what
every
I was
time,
thinking.
Every time a quarterback gets injured, one name comes to my mind, and that is Cam Newton. Do you think Cam Newton ends up as a starting quarterback this season in the NFL?
No.
Really?
Especially if he's unvaccinated.
Really?
No. Especially if he's unvaccinated, yes. You know how this works, Jacoby. In professional sports in particular. As long as the pros outweighs the cons, the risk is worth the reward. If he was Kirk Cousins, wouldn't be a problem. If he was Lamar Jackson, wouldn't be a problem. They have big deals. They're starting quarterbacks. Their teams rely on them week to week. Their teams didn't take a quarterback in the top few picks of the draft. So therefore, his room for error and his margin was vastly slimmer. And then once you start to miss practices because of the test or the administration of the test, now that becomes, in the team's estimation, a distraction. Well, and here's another thing that was happening. I've been in so many locker rooms, and I'm a younger brother. Mac and Cheese, while a funny nickname, in theory, in a lot of ways, is a condescending one. Mm-hmm. And Mac Jones didn't take it personal, I'm sure. But I guarantee you, the general manager who drafted him, even though he looks like you with his shirt off, did take it some kind of way every time he heard Cam say that. And so for me, I still feel Cam has some football left, but I believe if he's unvaccinated, that's going to hinder his opportunities.
All right, Jalen, one thing we don't do is we don't shy away from awkward conversations. And it's about time to have an awkward conversation. Deshaun Watson is not playing football for the Houston Texans.
No.
He has not been found guilty of any crimes. In the court of public opinion, he's certainly in jeopardy. And Tyrod Taylor is going to miss four games, but there are no plans for Deshaun Watson to take the field for the Texans. Mr. Rose, do you think there is some sort of hush-hush, wink-wink, we can't let this man play football on television deal going on with the owners and the Texans?
Yes, and under these circumstances, you want to be measured twice and cut once. And so there was a period of time where Deshaun and the organization ostracized themselves for one another. In theory, for me, that happened the day they traded D-Hop. Go back to Jalen and Jacoby's show. That day, the next day, the days after, when we brought D-Hop on, we said it's just a matter of time. The hourglass just got flipped on Deshaun Watson's tenure with the Texans. D-Hop needed to leave to get his money. Deshaun needed to stay to get his money. Once that was gonna happen, exit stage left. And then the allegations became public. And so, if I'm the Texans and the NFL, I applaud this level of caution. However, if he's not going to jail, he's still an extremely talented football player. And it goes back to my Cam Newton conversation. If Greg Hardy could get a job after what I read he allegedly did to a woman by throwing her on a futon filled with guns, if he could get a job with Jerry Jones, you and I both know at some point Deshaun Watson will find another team, another landing spot, and will be playing in the NFL. And fans and media, I'm not proud of this, but it's a fact. Overlook bad things when somebody's considered a champion or a winner. Ask Antonio Brown. When Tom Brady puts him under his wing and says, I got him, and brings him to Tampa, and they win the Super Bowl, nobody's talking about his allegations anymore.
And there are a lot of athletes in the Hall of Fame that do not have what we consider checkered pasts. A lot of athletes in the Hall of Fame. So we'll keep an eye on that. And Jalen, Anthony Davis got married over the weekend. Mr. Rose, how do you expect that to affect his professional approach to basketball?
I think it's gonna help him a lot. I really do. And he gets to see it up close and personal, obviously in his own family, because his parents have done a terrific job of raising him. But professionally, the imagery around you matters. And he goes over LeBron's house. He sees Savannah, he sees the kids. He sees what that looks like. And that's the next level of growth for a young person. What is he in his 30s now? Early 30s?
Ooh, I don't know. I'm gonna say not yet. I'll look it up right now, but I'm gonna say he's like 29.
Well, he's probably like 28, 29. I would say he's like 28, 29. Yeah, now I think about it, he like 28, 29.
28,
I remember
yeah.
when he was in high school. Yeah, he was in high school. So yeah, he's like 28, 29. Okay. So I applaud him stepping up to the plate. But you know what allows that for to happen for him and for anyone else? When you feel like you found the right person, and hopefully he's done that.
Well, getting married was the best thing that ever happened to me, I'll tell you that much. The best thing that ever happened to me was getting married. Wow.
But let us ask her what she think.
Who,
let us
Joey?
Ask her what she think. Yeah. Let us ask her what she think. You
Joey probably has
good,
some regrets.
Cameled up. Yeah.
Joey probably has
you
some regrets.
You get the mic. Let's ask her what she thinks.
Well, you know she don't listen to the podcast, but this information ain't getting to her. It is not getting to her. Adele and Rich
what is
Paul
the number
are...
one thing? What is the number one thing you do to get on her nerves? Or that she doesn't like? Or that she gets on your mom? The number one thing.
Oh, man. Jalen, I'm perfect. You know, I'm absolutely perfect. She has no complaints. She has no complaints. I'm perfect.
He's smiling. Hey, look, I mean, he sat back. Look at him raise the ledge. He put his hands on his head. That man started feeling good about himself. Then he said
to me one time, she goes, "What is Quincy's teacher's name?" And I was like, I just left the house. I was just like, I gotta go. I didn't even know my son's teacher's name. He was just like, you're the
family,
worst.
Hit the brakes, Rich. Hit the brakes, Rich. Hit the brakes, Rich. Let me tell you guys something out there. I never met my biological father, and I'm a single dad. And having a broken home situation is tough. It tests your maturity. And what you just described, that's why I had Rich hit the brakes, because just think about this. You live with your kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have your wife and or kids complained about you not being there?
Not that much. Probably complained about me being there more than not being there, to be honest with you.
Correct. In a broken home scenario, it's the opposite. Because you can never be there for everything. If y'all live in the same state, you could be mother or father of the year. If the parents are separated, at maximum, you're going to see your son or daughter 50% of the time. Maximum. But really, if it's like every other weekend, that's like two or three nights. That's like four nights a month. That's like 20, 25% of the time. That's the math.
Yeah.
And that's if y'all live in the same state. Imagine if your kids live in a different state. Like, I got on a plane this morning. I was up at 5 in the morning today to come to Atlanta so I could watch Gracie play volleyball. She play on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so I ain't going to be at every game. I ain't going to be at school every day. And like you, I ain't going to know the teacher's name. Not all of them. And imagine when you're in a situation like me, when you get asked rhetorical questions like you got asked for 20 plus years. It can be challenging. And I want to encourage everybody out there, the single moms, the single fathers, continue to stay the course and do whatever you can to make sure you find ways to spend time with your son or daughter. And so I just want to applaud the single moms, the single fathers, and then I want to say something to the kids also. The young people who grow up in broken situations. Just like there's a such thing as deadbeat parents, there's a such thing as deadbeat kids too.
Mm.
So this idea that you can't pick up the phone and call, this idea that you can't visit or say please or say thank you, type of thing, or not appreciate the time and energy that, whether it's a physical parent that lives with you, or you from a broken situation and both of your parents don't live with you, always remember that there are people out here that don't know their parents, that have foster parents, that were given up for adoption, that like have way worse situations than you actually do. I remember being this kid. I love my mother to death, dog. I was the kid that got mad at my mom, went in the room, slammed the door. I hate you. I did that. We all did that, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we got told no, or something didn't happen that we felt like should happen. It's compounded, David Jacoby, when you don't live with your kids. So I'll put a button on this conversation by saying, kids are amazing, beautiful, and wonderful. Respectfully, try not to have any if you're not planning on being with the person you're having the kids with.
I understand.
That's real spill. And I don't care who get mad at me.
My wife was gone for 2 weeks, and she was on the road working. And I remember just thinking to myself, there's a reason it takes two people to make a baby, because it takes two people to raise a baby. Like, this is hard. Like, she was gone for 2 weeks. I was like, this is just hard. Like, all the single moms, my mom was a single mom, like, all the single moms and single dads out there doing it by themselves, shout out to you. And everybody that doesn't have children yet, follow Mr. Rose's advice. It takes two people to raise a kid. Do your best to make sure that there is two people in the home raising the child, because it is hard out here. We always say we get the people they want. Part of that is listening to the people. Our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. Reg, what do you got?
Jalen, Jacoby, Mr. Jalen, Mr. Jacoby, this is Lucian. I'm calling from Brooklyn. I hope you guys are doing well. You know, keep getting checked, keep not getting fired, all this type of stuff. So I'm not sure if you can hear in the background, but I have a young child with me, my son Enzo, 9 months. I'm a recent father. We're in the middle of sports season. I wanted to get your guys' expertise here and how exactly I'm supposed to navigate this. So, you know, Sunday, we got football, basketball is about to start, all that type of stuff. What is the best way for me to properly enjoy all of my sports with a 9-month-old baby? Keep in mind, My partner, she needs that time off as well on Sunday. So am I sending her to have like a relaxing day somewhere? Am I clearing the house out and taking the baby with me? Is the baby at a bar? Is that a soft move, boss move? Is that going to be enjoyable? It doesn't sound like it's going to be fun, but maybe it will be. There'll be other friends there who can sort of watch him. Just trying to figure out like how can I make this sports season as enjoyable for all, or do I just give up and like start over again caring about sports when he's like 2 or 3 years old? And then quick follow-up question, what is, just off the record, just between you and I, what is the, when you've had a smaller child, what is the furthest away you've been from that child while I'm supposed to be watching them? Are we talking like they're in the other room and you're showering, you run out to the store? Like, you know, it's just you and I, but just out of curiosity, how far have you pushed it? Thank you. Appreciate you. And see you soon.
First of all, big shout out to Lush. That's one of my best friends right there. That's Lucian Dixon, Mo Bodega Capo. Long voicemail, Lush. You got to tighten that up, dog. You got to tighten that up. You spoke more in this podcast than I did. All right. First things first.
I got answers too.
First things first is, here's what you do, Lush, is football doesn't start until 1 p.m. on Sunday. So you own the morning. Oh, you're super dad. Super dad from like 7 to 1 in the afternoon. And if Abby, your partner, needs her time off, well, guess what? Babysitter. Throw money at the problem. You can always throw money at the problem. I love having other people take care of my kids. You know what? I could pick my kids up from school every day. We got some dude named Axel doing it. Why? Because we don't have to be there. So those are two pieces of advice right there. And we'll get to baby at the bar in a second, but go ahead, Jalen Rose.
Thank you for the call, Enzo. Appreciate the love and the support. A couple of things. What is the farthest you can be away from your infant, son Enzo? I got you on that.
So let's, Lucian is the dad, Enzo is the kid, but continue.
Right, Lucian is the dad, Enzo. How far can you be away from Enzo is the question.
I'll push this one.
Not as far as it seems like you have. You gotta rein it back in just a little bit. Just because the baby sleep, that doesn't mean you run to the store. You cannot leave out of the house.
I will leave the crib. I will leave the crib. I'll be at the bodega while my kid is asleep. No. My kids are watching TV, I'm gone. I'll be right back.
But that's different. You got Quincy also, plus you have the twins. He's talking about singular, a 9-month-old. So you can't be at the bodega. Anything. That's why you can't lead a crib. You just can't lead a crib. But when Jacoby says, I got you, Jacob. When you say throw money at the problem, I got a solution. They got cameras that you can put in the room. Problem solved. You can see everything. You can hear everything. So now, unlike Jacoby, I'm not going to the bodega, but I feel free to roam the interior of the house or even the yard knowing I can see and or hear. I'm not gonna be like Jacoby, one of the people you pull up at the supermarket or the mall and they leave their dog in the car for like 2 hours. I'm not one of those people.
Couple things. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. What you can't be doing is you can't be drinking or smoking. If you leave a baby, you cannot be drinking or smoking. You just can't. Like, you can go to the bodega and get yourself a sandwich or go get a Diet Pepsi, but what you can't be doing, you can't be going to the bar while your baby's asleep in the house. Like, you just can't do that. Like, that's not allowed.
But you just can't leave. Well, I disagree with that. You just can't leave. You can't leave the house, dog.
Oh, you can leave. You can leave. I have a controversial parenting opinion, Mr. Rose.
Don't get divorced.
My wife don't listen to this show. She ain't listening. Chances of her listening to this are zero. Zero. So I think that those cameras and having those cameras on your phone is actually hurts more than it helps. And let me explain why. You're constantly checking it out. You're looking at your baby sleeping, moving around, you're listening to it, and it gives you a notification if the baby moves and this and that. Guess what? If you don't have the camera, you don't even think about it. I found it's actually more stressful. It gave me more anxiety being able to monitor my children on the camera than it relieved anxiety. Like, it was actually a net negative, the camera was. Controversial opinion.
I have to say this. There's a segment on our program called Negative Jacoby. And I feel the personality of my brother that plays out as a poor parent on this show is not actually the person I see be a father.
Oh, I'm a great dad.
You're like one of those.
I'm a super dad.
You're like one of those rappers. You like one of those artists that's like calling people out of their names and all of that stuff, but then you go right home to your wife. You know what I'm saying? You one of those artists. You know what I'm saying? Screw her. Screw him. Oh my God, I would never, never be loyal. I would never. I'm a baller, I'm a player, I'm a G. Go right home to your wife. Yes, baby.
No,
yes, honey.
It doesn't make you a bad dad. I'm just saying the cameras, dude, how many times did your mom look at you on a camera when you were growing up? Zero. Didn't exist. I didn't have a camera in my bedroom when I was growing up. We don't need a camera. More anxiety than it relieves. We got people on the show. We're on the show listening to this right now. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm not asking Steph Curry to be Isaiah Thomas. He doesn't have to go to the hole and get clothesline and see how he responded. Times were different. When my mother had me, she smoked cigarettes the whole 9 months. What are you saying? Times are different.
I'm saying that the camera adds more anxiety than it relieves. That's all I'm saying.
No,
the camera adds more anxiety than it relieves. It does.
No, it don't.
I mean,
no,
I don't need to see every time my kid flips over in
the
crib, I'm good.
Anyway.
Jacoby. I don't need to look at my kid flip over. Oh my God, my son turned over. He's sleeping. Oh, is he moving? What? I don't care.
All you got to do is be able to hear it. You can be able to hear. You don't have to stare at the phone. But you got to think about it. A large portion of our audience staring at the phone almost all day anyway.
Well, Jay, that's why I started reading.
How many times do you think you... Let me ask you a question.
That's why I started reading.
How many times
I was looking at my phone too much.
Correct. Before you started reading, and I know everybody get these screen time notifications.
Oh, dog.
How many times a day do you think you look at your phone to look at social media?
Oh, times? Oh, I just throw a guess out there, like 25 probably. Like sometimes when it says like every Sunday, you get the thing on Sunday when it's like you average 5 hours and 15 minutes on your phone a day. I'm like, that's impossible. Like, that is impossible. Impossible. I was like, there's no way. I'm only awake for like 12 hours a day. I'm awake for like 16 hours a day, right? Probably more like 20. You're trying to tell me that
it's correct.
25 to 30% of my
conscious
time.
He doesn't like that feature. I love that feature.
I'm looking at my phone.
I love that.
Like, I'm just like, that's basically like 33% of the time I'm alive, I'm just looking at my stupid phone. I don't need to see what's happening on Instagram, dog. I don't need to see it. I don't care anymore. That's why I read, dog. That's why I picked up the books. Get yourself a book.
But you old and washed, though.
Oh, I'm very washed. I'm very washed.
But you old and washed, though.
Reg, first of all, I only read actual books. I don't read, because I feel like reading on your phone is just the same thing. Like then you're still on your phone.
It is.
Yeah, so I got the
same
I got
energy.
The physical copy. I'll be at Barnes & Noble. I got a membership at Barnes & Noble. I get a 10% off. Put my phone number right there. Barnes & Noble gang. That's a Lucian. So next thing, baby at the bar is a boss move. All my babies been at bars. All my babies be at bars. Especially if it's only 9 months, you don't remember what happens in your 9 months. It's when they turn like my son's age, when they're like eight, that's when it starts to get a little weird. They're like, Dad, why are you always at the bar? But taking your baby to the bar is a boss move. A boss move. Boss move.
Well, there were periods in my life where I had to learn to be a young adult because as the youngest, everybody has a different schedule, including my mother. And so, working at Chrysler's from 8 to 5, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, her night job, she was a waitress at the Shea Bowl Lounge. And so I used to go with her when I was young. And so there was a period of time where I was like 6, 7, just like drinking Shirley Temples, playing pinball, and happy to be there, until the period where I was like 9, 10, where I was hustling and helping her out. And I was getting cigarettes from the cigarette machine for customers. And I was like, oh, if something, you need something else. Like, oh, I need some lemons, or I need some cherries, or I need whatever. Like, I'll be the guy to go do that so I can get a tip. And there were so many times I remember being like 11, 12 years old, where I'm sitting in the back of the car and my mother's sitting in the front of the car and we both counting our tips. So I'll never be the person that act like you can't take a kid to a bar, because I literally grew up in one my entire childhood. Shout out to Joe Strada, rest in peace.
It still doesn't answer the question where if you hang out with Jalen Rose and you end up at a place that sells adult beverages and they say, what would you like? Jalen acts like he's never heard the question before. It takes this dude like 20 minutes to decide on what he's gonna get. For me, Tito's soda splash of grapefruit. Every time, same. Yeah, but every time, you act like they're speaking a different language to you. They're like, what do you want, sir? And you're just like, oh man, you start looking around, you start looking at bottles.
Yeah, man, that's a tough question.
Do you have sangria? Do you have sangria? No, we don't have sangria. And he's like, can you make sangria? He just pour me some red wine and just put some fruit in there. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Can you mix my Cabernet with some red, some port? Can you put some port inside of my Cabernet?
Appreciate the call, Lucian Dixon, Mobadenga Capo. We got time for one more voicemail. Don't forget to call 985-80-JALEN. You call 985-80-JALEN, we will put you on the show just like this.
What up, though? Shout out, Reg, podcast listener here, POEGB, Detroit representative, 7 Mile Finest. My guy, Jacoby, you brought up something. Drinking the milk after the cereal. I got a question, man, because me and my guys talk about something like this all the time. What is your top 5 milks to drink after the cereal? Because if they sold this in stores, man, I'd buy it all the time. I shouldn't just do it myself. But my top 5, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Apple Jacks, Honey Nut Cheerios, Golden Grahams, and almost any kind of chocolate cereal. Oh, Crunch Berries as a bonus. My guy, Jalen, what up, though? Fellow Aquarius, your middle name is my first name. Also a member of the Fire Club. I got to tell you this, man. Al Bubba Baker is the unofficial sack leader, rookie of the Detroit Lions in 1978 with 23. One pride. Go Blue. Detroit basketball.
Wow. Wow.
What
up, caller?
What a caller. Welcome to 76.
I feel like he hosts the show. He's dropping stats. From 1978, Bubba Baker.
And
so, Jalen.
By the way, the legend. Hold on, wait. The legend, Al Bubba Baker. By the way, used to be out there ferocious killing QBs. Yeah, the Jets, y'all had Gastineau and Klecko and the sack exchange and the Cowboys had Ed Too Tall Jones. And the Steelers had Jack Lambert and Mean Joe Green. But ain't nobody like Al Bubba Baker, dog. Nobody.
Well, so shout to
my Detroit
Buda Baker
homie,
too.
My fellow Aquarian. What up, dog?
Shout to Buda Baker as well from the Cardinals. Love Buda Baker. All right, Jalen. First of all, he touched on something I need to discuss. Having kids, as we've discussed, is one of the most influential, impactful events that happen in anyone's life. But one thing it really does for you is it brings back cereal into your life. Like, when you're single and you're in your 20s, you're not really rocking with cereal like that. But when you get kids, you're rocking with the cereal. So obviously CTC, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, is the number one. It's indisputable, undefeated cereal milk, CTC. But he also lost me with the Golden Grahams. No. Fruity Pebbles is another top 5 cereal milk. And he also hit this one right, the chocolate cereal, especially like a chocolate Rice Krispies. That's gonna be a top 5 cereal milk to eat. But Fruity Pebbles, CTC, Cocoa Krispies, I'ma go with that, which is the one that's that cookie crisp? That shouldn't even be cereal, that doesn't count. You can't have the cookies for breakfast, but that is good. That's gonna be my number 4. And then to finish it off, gonna have to rock with him on the Apple Jacks. Jalen, great calls today. Appreciate your candidness.
Great call.
About the parenting situation. Shout out to Lucian. Shout out to Anthony from Detroit, 7 Mile. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen?
Golden Grahams, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Apple Jacks, for sure. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.